The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 19th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, it's happened again. For the third time in less than a month, the U.S. has shipped the wrong beef to South Korea. And an Ohio congressman thinks it's okay to ship state-inspected meat across interstate borders. And he's introduced legislation to let that happen. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. It's a Tuesday during the growing season, and while things changed a bit overnight with the rainfall in the Midwest, we still have updates of crop conditions in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. They take in account conditions through last Sunday. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, don't forget that meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast, so you ought to stay with us for this edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with farmers for over 100 years to advance agriculture and farming way of life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat in the soft red winter wheat pit at $5.81, down 20 cents. September futures were down 20 and a half at 5.97 on their settlement price. December contract at 6.01 and a half, down 21 and a quarter. July corn futures were down 20 cents at $3.96. September at 4.04, down the limit, 20 lower. And the December futures at 403 and a half were down the 20-cent limit as well. July soybeans at 829, down 26 and a quarter. The August futures at 837 and a half, down 25 and three quarters. And November beans at $8.64 were down 25. July bean meal at $8.10 lower at $2.29.70. And July bean oil at $35.32. That was down 0.77 for the day. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at 108.45. They were up $1.72 and a half, and June futures were down 52 and a half cents, in the June live cattle at $90.10 a hundredweight. August futures 91.30. They finish a nickel higher. July lean hogs down 52 and a half cents at 75.17 and a half. The outside markets trading the nearby July crude oil futures at $69.10. That's $69.10. They were up a penny for the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,606, and it's down just about 6 points at the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at a dismal Chicago Board of Trade day is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
You know, it would be really good if everybody could say, like I can in Muhammad, that we got an inch, but I suspect that's not the case.
No, it isn't, Todd. Unfortunately, we had a lot of areas here in Indiana and western Illinois that didn't get even a tenth of an inch of rain, and we'd sure love to have had that quarter to a half inch, let alone a full inch. But, you know, this wouldn't have been half as hard to take today if we'd improved our crop situation, but what it all come down to was, number one, some rains last night around good areas, and the forecast for the rains here on Friday. And that's the one the Canadian model first broke out, and then the GFS model coming out is what really put the thunder to this market and pulled all buying away. And it was mainly all sellers and fell pretty easily.
And it fell pretty easily. Are you worried much about the market given the limit down move?
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at the options, I think the July corn is actually trading the options was 4 to 6 cents lower than where we closed, and we're going to have some activity of that. We figure that that basically gives us a 5 to 10 cent lower open for the evening trade, just out of what was left in the pits that way, Todd. So, you know, that, and we will continue to look and see if the models verify or if they come with the same forecasts as they come on out, but you know, we were getting up to some pretty lofty levels. You know, it still has got a 4 in front of most of the corn except for that July. And, you know, it still has an 8 in front of those beans. So, you know, we can't get too disappointed or feeling too bad over here, but, you know, but we are concerned in many of our areas over here that haven't had hardly any rain for a long period of time here, and some very hot weather forecast for the weekend if we don't get that second rain on Friday or Saturday.
It's probably time to talk a little bit about supply and demand and what a normal supply demand situation might look like, given the numbers we have, about a billion bushels in carryout. And then if we come in with something on a normal size crop, I suppose 12 and a half, are we looking at what, back into the 360, 370 area, just sort of ballpark if we run things normally?
I would think that that's a very good chance, Todd, if we can do that. I think a lot of things, we aren't expanding the ethanol industry as fast as projected. There's still plants coming online and going along, but they aren't coming up quite as fast as their production and opening was expected. That's one thing. Number two, because of the high freight rates and everything along the way, some of our exports have been cut back and the higher prices. You know, the government trimmed 50 million bushels on the last report. That way, and of course, we've got the end of the month report coming up with what the planted acreage, basically what the government thinks is going to be. If you remember, Informa did raise that number a little bit in their estimates. Some of the other private estimates think it'll be lower, some think it'll be a little higher, and of course, that has a lot to do with what's going on. And of course, you know, we look at the crop ratings from yesterday, the rain that we got last night and this morning in parts of Illinois. Illinois was a drastic drop in the crop ratings yesterday from the week before, and I think that that's a big thing to look at and see that they do get the rain to recover from what those ratings did drop.
So as we look at it, just looks like there's an awful lot of time left between now and harvest, and many things could happen. What should producers be thinking about in their marketing plans? Are they just looking back at their marketing plans and saying, I've got it in hand, I know where I am at, I've got my risk management done on the crop insurance, I know where I want to make my sales, and if they've got that, is there any reason to change a marketing plan at this point, I guess, is the question.
Well, I think that you would find that there's a lot of people that still have to complete their marketing plan. I think that a lot of people have been very wise in waiting and holding off on doing a large percentage of their marketing until we got back over the $8 and over the $4 mark here. And I think they were very happy they have. And some of those people that had got good rains and look like things are coming along can go ahead and push some more of the cash sales, look at things that way, Todd. I think that in the areas where you didn't get the rain and you still need to see it fall like that, they definitely need to be, you know, if they want to be pricing things, they need to think of options instead, because we just don't want to get caught selling cash that we don't have. We know we're covered with, if we did do the revenue crop insurance, we know we've got some coverage that way as far as covering contracts, but it's a lot easier to buy them back on the board than it is from your local elevators. So, you know, those are things to look at. We did not like to close below 410 in the December corn day. We liquidated some of our longs once it went under that. We might be, you know, if the rain would lessen itself out a little bit, we might be able to find some good support down, not too far here as we fill the gap. But, all in all, like, we wanted to make sure that we kept some sales if we were going to do it above the $4 level.
As you take a look at the soy complex for the afternoon, it was off fairly sharply, but given the drop in the corn pit, held pretty well in that face. Is that simply because they're still trying to buy acres in South America?
I think that that's one big thing, Todd. And actually, you know, we're really closer to the ties in the beans than we are in the corn. And when you look at corn bean lockdown limit, before that last weather forecast come out, beans were actually on the high of the day when this first noon forecast broke. So, like I say, it is a little bit on the weather there. We still have a lot of areas where we're not quite sure they're going to get enough weather for good double crop down in the Mid-South. Some areas are very dry down there, and we are still trying to buy, like you say, acres. It is not the old crop beans we're trying to buy as much as we're trying to buy acres.
Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate it. Wayne Nelson, of course, is with Newmarket L&M Commodities. He's rather in Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. A quick look at the forecast from our own Mike Sola. Tonight, he says, across southern Indiana, skies will be partly cloudy. A few lingering showers this evening, then clearing. Elsewhere, mostly clear. Lows will range from 53 in northeastern Indiana to 65 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs from 79 in northern Indiana to 89 in southwestern Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now. He has a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, for the third time in less than a month, the U.S. has shipped the wrong beef to South Korea. Two U.S. meat plants run by Tyson Foods Incorporated processed the beef and have been suspended from handling meat bound for South Korea. South Korea slapped a de facto ban on U.S. beef imports earlier this month after two shipments, which arrived in late May, were meant for domestic consumption. The ban was lifted days later after Washington assured Seoul that the two shipments were mistakenly exported. The latest finding is expected to have a negative effect on U.S. efforts to get South Korea to open its beef market wider. Ohio Congressman Zach Space plans to introduce legislation that would allow meat processed at a state facility meeting federal inspection requirements to be shipped across state lines. He says the measure would dramatically reduce the distance producers will have to travel to sell their products, dramatically expanding the market and generally reducing costs. Wheat industry officials say any reduction in the base acres eligible for direct payments under Farm Bill 2007 will be detrimental to producers. John Thamert is president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. He says during what has been a year-long drought, direct payments have been the only form of farm program support for many wheat growers.
We wanted support that was there for a producer when they needed it, not one that if they didn't grow a crop and the price went up, there wouldn't be anything there for them. That's been the problem with wheat. Actually, I am in an area that has had back-to-back droughts, and this is the first decent year that we've had as far as production, and then we get this freeze. It doesn't make sense to go down the road they're going down.
The House Ag Committee is marking up the commodity title of the Farm Bill today. Heading into the markup, provisions on payment limits were mostly unchanged, and the bill retains direct and countercyclical payments. Australia's AWB Limited says it will vigorously defend a third class action suit filed by U.S. wheat growers over its conduct in relation to Iraq wheat exports made under the UN Oil for Food Program. AWB says a class action complaint filed on behalf of Dennis Brothers in the U.S. District Court in New York is substantially identical to two previous complaints filed against AWB. The suit alleges AWB engaged in conduct contrary to U.S. antitrust laws and the U.S. Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. And Philip Nelson, the Scully Chair Professor in Food Processing at Purdue University, has been named winner of the World Food Prize for his contributions to food processing, and he will receive a $250,000 award at an October 18th ceremony in Des Moines, Iowa. Nelson is credited with developing technology to transport processed fruits and vegetables without product spoilage. The technology, known as aseptic bulk storage and distribution, revolutionized global food trade. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Well, up next, our weekly look at crop progress in the top five corn-producing states of the nation in order: Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank.
serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal
USDA,
housing
of
lender.
Of course, Monday afternoon at 3 Central released the latest crop progress numbers for June the 17th. They show the corn crop nationwide remains in very good condition despite the dry weather east of the Mississippi in previous weeks. 70% of the crop remains in the good or excellent categories. That's down 7 percentage points from the week before. Tennessee reported the worst corn crop around the nation, 18% in the two top categories. Soybeans fell off over the past week, too. The nationwide good to excellent average declined by 5 points. One other note nationally, 54% of the winter wheat crop is now in the bin.
This is Joe Brusacki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 17, 2007. A week of warm, windy weather resulted in one-third of Iowa's topsoil being rated either short or very short. This is a significant change from a week ago when over 90% of Iowa's topsoil had adequate or surplus moisture. Only a few areas of Iowa saw any precipitation in the past week. This allowed farmers to catch up on spring, although winds prevented some application. Temperatures for the week averaged 6.2 degrees above normal. The statewide average precipitation was a mere 0.15 inches, while normal for the week is 1.26 inches. There were 6.6 days suitable for field work, compared to 5.7 days last year at this time. Moisture rated third or short, 64% adequate, and 3% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 9%, very short or short, 82% adequate, and 9% surplus. The corn condition is basically unchanged from last week at 4% very poor, 18% fair, and 78% good or excellent. Average corn height is 24 inches, an increase of 10 inches from the previous week. The soybean condition is also virtually unchanged from last week at 3% very poor, 20% fair, and 77% good or excellent. Soybeans are 97% emerged. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is 79% complete, remains well behind last year's 96%, but slightly ahead of the five-year average of 76%. This has been Joe Prasaka with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 17, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 17th. Illinois weather last week was dominated by above-normal temperatures and virtually no rain across the entire state. Numerous areas of the state have received only minimal rainfall since Memorial Day, and farmers are watching what has started out to be a good crop begin to show signs of stress. And while low humidity levels benefited those who were baling hay last week, it has also accelerated the decline in topsoil moisture. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated 31% very short, 48% short, and 21% adequate. Northern Illinois continues to have the best soil moisture levels in the state, but declines were also noted there last week. The corn crop continues to grow at a rapid pace, and in only 7 days, the average height increased by an amazing 13 inches. Corn height now averages 39 inches, well ahead of the 28 inches 1 year ago and 26 inches for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. Soybean emergence advanced to 96%, compared to 91% 1 year ago and 89% for the five-year average. The only remaining soybean fields left to be planted are the double crop soybeans, which will follow wheat harvest. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in fair to mostly good condition. The soft red winter wheat crop is maturing rapidly, with 69% of the fields reported ripe, compared to 69% 1 year ago and 50% for the five-year average. 39% of the crop has been harvested, compared to 32% last year and 18% for the five-year average. In other crops around the state, sorghum planting was at 90% complete. The first cutting of alfalfa was nearly complete at 97%, while the second cutting advanced to 12%. Red clover cutting had reached 89%, and the oat crop had 47% of the heads filled and 9% of them turning yellow. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 17, 2007. Heavy rains across the southwest caused more flooding, while the northwest continued abnormally dry. Corn conditions rated 85% good or excellent, well above last year's 67% rating. Soybean conditions rated 82% good or excellent, well above last year's 65% condition. Wheat conditions rated 55% good or excellent, well above last year's condition of 17%. Harvest is expected to begin in southern counties next week. Alfalfa conditions rated 68% good or excellent, well above last year's 35%. Oat conditions rated 78% good or excellent, well above last year's 29%. Pasture and range conditions rated 73% good or excellent, well above last year's 27%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 17, 2007. The first cutting of Minnesota's alfalfa crop reached 80% harvested this past week. The alfalfa harvest progressed 28 percentage points, ending the week approximately 10 days ahead of the five-year average pace. Warm sunny conditions boosted development of corn and small grain crops. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies declined, with the exception of the northwest corner of the state, where repeated showers have extended the areas of surplus soil moisture. The average temperature for the week was 73.3 degrees, 8.1 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies, as of Friday, were rated 8% very short, 24 short, 52 adequate, and 16 surplus. As of Sunday, June 17th, alfalfa first cutting was estimated at 81% complete, compared to the five-year average of 61%. State average corn height was 24 inches compared to 12 inches average, and the soybean height was 7 inches compared to 4 inches average. Spring wheat acreage was 68% jointed compared to 50% average, and sweet corn was 97% planted compared to 84% average. 84% of field corn and 79% of soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. Green pea conditions were improved to 90% good or excellent, while pasture conditions declined slightly to 63% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 17, 2007. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana. And this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 17th. Scattered showers over the weekend did little to lower crop stress. The few areas that received the showers reported that the amounts were so minimal that they did not provide enough moisture to the fields. Growers statewide worried about the continued dry spell along with the high temperatures and commented that rain is desperately needed. Topsoil moisture was rated as 44% very short, 42% short, 14% adequate, and 0% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 23% very short, 46% short, 31% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation range from 0 to 0.19 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 94 to a low of 50 degrees. There were 6.9 days rated as suitable for field work. Corn condition for the week was rated at 48% good to excellent, down 13 points from last week, and lower than last year at this time when 56% of the corn crop was rated as good to excellent. Nearly all the soybean acreage has been planted except for the double-cropped acres. 96% of the soybean acreage has emerged compared with 85% last year at this time and 84% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 43% good to excellent compared with 57% last year at this time. Harvesting of the winter wheat acreage has begun with 18% complete compared to 12% last year and 8% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated at 31% good to excellent, down slightly from last week. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office. Thank you.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. More than 180 high-tech workers may be out of jobs in the next 2 months. Motorola says it's closing its design center in Champaign, which writes software for cell phones. The struggling company says it plans to close the facility at the University of Illinois Research Park by the end of August. U of I Chancellor Richard Herman says cooperation between Motorola and several colleges in the university will go on despite the closing. Illinois' two senators are asking the Labor Department for help in finding new jobs for the displaced workers. The condition of a man accused of shooting three Champaign police officers has now been upgraded to good. Donnell Clemens faces attempted murder charges in a shootout 2 weeks ago at Westside Park. He was shot several times. Champaign police say they were returning fire from Clemens, who's accused of hitting officers John Murphy, Jack Armstrong, and Shannon Bridges. The Clinton Nuclear Power Station is not producing power. Exelon, the plant's owner, says the reactor will remain closed while repair crews fix a hose used to monitor steam that turns the turbines at the station. Exelon spokeswoman Crystal Lipinski says customers shouldn't be affected. She says the company's other plants will be able to make up for the lost production. Exelon didn't say when they expect the plant to be producing power again. A spokeswoman says Cook County Board President Todd Stroger is expected to make a complete and rapid recovery after having his prostate removed yesterday. Stroger was diagnosed with cancer 10 months ago, but didn't disclose his condition to voters until now, and his spokeswoman says he's entitled to medical privacy. Teenage participants in a camp for prospective firefighters are getting a sobering reminder about the dangers of the trade. The head of the Illinois Fire Service Institute says the deaths of 9 firefighters in a fire in South Carolina underlines the decisions that professionals are forced to make with little information. Richard Janey says researchers are working on ways to make those decisions easier in the event of a life-threatening fire. This week's National Fire and Emergency Services Exploring Conference on the U of I campus is aimed at 14 to 18-year-olds who are considering a career in firefighting or at least a job in a volunteer department. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Hi, this is Station Manager Jay Pierce. With the fiscal year ending soon, this is a final appeal for help in meeting our financial needs for the coming year. Right now, we're a little over $313,000 away from our annual Friends goal, a goal set before we knew that we'd have less state and university money to work with. So I'm sure you can see how important it is that you call 244-9455 or log on to willpledge.org today to make a contribution. Time is of the essence. The outcome's in your hands. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Don Day. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Well, feather in your cap for putting a little rainfall across the state of Illinois, but the folks in Indiana aren't all that happy with you at the moment.
No, they need some more, and unfortunately, it's slim pickings for a while. Now, we are going to see another batch of showers and thunderstorms move into the area as we get into Thursday, late Friday, into early Saturday, maybe. But it's going to be a scattered thunderstorm pattern, one of those situations where we can't guarantee everybody some rain. We will see some better rains a little bit further west across portions of Kansas and Nebraska, even sections of Iowa. But the moisture is going to have a hard time, at least over the next 4 to 5 days here, getting further east. Will there be some chances? Certainly, but those best chances will come a little bit later this week.
And tell me about the 24-hour precip. Who got it and where?
Well, the areas that did best were the areas, as you said, the Illinois area, as we got up into the northern and northwest areas of the Corn Belt. Those areas fared the best. Some of the northern areas, some locations a half inch to over an inch in some of the heavier thunderstorms.
And so it was a fairly widespread across the state of Illinois. Iowa got some of it as well, a little
they
bit of Wisconsin.
They certainly did, as well as eastern areas of Nebraska and northwest areas of Missouri.
And importantly, those who didn't get it would include portions of Indiana, Ohio, and how'd Tennessee fare? They had just an awful corn crop number. I think it was down in the 16 to 18% for the good to excellent categories out of the crop weather yesterday.
They did not get nearly as much as areas that we saw here in Illinois. There was some good moisture, especially in southwestern and central areas of Tennessee, but not widespread enough to be a big boost.
And tell me about other things you've been watching in the world of agricultural weather.
Well, as we take a look across at least North America, we definitely see all the indications of high pressure, a typical summer pattern beginning to set up shop, just like we should heading into late June and into early July. We'll have to watch out for some hotter, drier areas forming, and that does give us some concern in the eastern Corn Belt. On the other side of the globe, in Europe, they're actually looking at some fairly favorable weather. There's going to be good moisture across most of the growing areas of Europe, and that includes some areas of Russia.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
China looking good with moisture as well, and a good growing pattern there.
Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. While you're there, you can listen to today's closing market report, the pre-opening and the opening market report, along with the crop weather segment if you'd like. It's all right there on our website as MP3 files, or you can sign up to have them delivered directly to your computer as a podcast. Please do that. It's at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.